Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
And welcome to our El Pacifico studios here as we broadcast from the beachside here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch. We're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're very happy to have you with us. We are streaming live, videocast live, each and every night of our show. It's right there now at philhenryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch the show as it is broadcast, both audio and video. We have a an archive of our videocast. You can go back and look at the shows that you may have missed. We have an archive of our audio, which you can go back and listen to the shows that you may have missed. And we have that archive of audio going back over 10 years, almost 15 years now, bud.
Yeah. What's... Well, wait a second. What's 5 minus 10?
What do you mean 5 minus 10?
Hold on.
What do you mean 5 minus 10?
I mean...
5 minus 10 is negative 5.
What are you trying to figure out, man?
What was the first year of the archive?
Well, the very first, we have actually some archive material from 93 and 94, but to answer your question, 96.
No, 97.
96. October. No, you're right, 97.
Yeah, don't, I know. You didn't get the tapes from Matt Groening. That's why you're wishfully thinking that you have more. Until you grow the pair, Phil.
All right. Margaret.
No, this needs to be said. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. This needs to be said. Hold on. Am I right?
You're right, Mark. You gotta say it.
Oh, well, what is this?
Hold on. You have got to grow a pair of you-know-what's big enough so that were they made out of metal and the Matt Groening home had installed in it a magnet, let's say, that the magnet would drag you, well, balls first,
Will you knock it off with this?
Go on, get out of there, say.
To the Matt Groening home, where you would then say, Mr. Groening, may I have those tapes that you said you have?
At which time he would say, gee, Phil, you've been dragging your ass so much, I bulk erased them and threw them in the garbage.
Yeah, you better hope he doesn't say that. Because if he does say that, there's going to be many fans who will be so put out with you and disgusted. And I'll tell you something, I'll be one of them. I will be one. I will be disgusted. I'll be sick at my stomach if I find out you had a chance for those tapes. I forgot what I was saying. What?
Yeah, I forgot too.
You're talking about the tapes.
Oh, the tapes. Well, I said what I wanted to say.
Yes, well, all right, I'll make that call.
Bah, bull crap. You always say you're gonna, and you never not ever do it.
Yeah, I mean, disappointment, Mr. A lot of people out there. Hold on for a minute. Sorry.
Wait a minute. When did this all start that everybody belches on Mike?
Margaret gets to do it.
Yeah, her do it.
See what I mean?
Well, don't blame me.
No. See what I mean? These two guys here, you're leading the way on the belch brigade. Okay.
Isn't that funny, the belch brigade?
That's what you're doing, and now these two, don't do it again. You understand?
Yeah, how come she gets to do it?
Just don't do it again. So anyway, to clean up and to mop up, and that's what happens when we do a promo for our website. It's not just a promo; it turns into it's like a bucket of sewage that just got spilled, and now I got to mop it up.
What?
Never mind. So in other words, to get the website, to dig on the whole thing, go over to philhenryshow.com, get a backstage pass, 1 month, $9.99. How can you beat it? You can't. Is it any better anywhere else? No, it isn't. Do you get as much material for the money? No, you don't. Will you be cursing me and cursing my very existence when you decide you won't do it, that you go ahead and spend your money on a porn site, which is only going to deepen your psychosis and your neurosis, which is only going to make you angry at women, which is only going to make you more frustrated as you sit there in that pile of filth that you live in and you look at all those dirty porn sites, most of them having to do with women over the age of 60.
Yay!
Thank you. Cut. Wouldn't you rather just laugh, and be happy, and the world will laugh with you? Of course you would. So go to philhenryshow.com and get that backstage pass. By the way, all of you BSPs, I wasn't informed of this, and of course the guys are telling me they did tell me. I don't remember anybody telling me. Everybody that's a current BSP gets a free download. Everybody that's a current BSP gets a free download. You should have gotten some kind of email. I don't know. I didn't know this. I'm going to do something more because I think that was not very well handled. So I'm going to do something more next month for our BSPs to say, thank you. You're just a swell bunch. Love you, babe. Can't live without you, babe.
You got a guy called you babe on a Twitbook.
Twitbook? Good God, oh my, you didn't really say that.
Bud, what are you talking about?
I mean, sorry, on Facebook, Twitbook. That'd
be the one you'd be on, Twitbook.
Now you'd be on Twitbook for the twits.
Yeah, I already said that, man. I already made a joke out of it. You can't make the...
All right, take it easy. What did you see on Twitbook?
That one guy's all... I forget, but, I forget.
Yeah, everybody's forgetting what they want to say because they're hearing things and suddenly... all right, so welcome to our show. And tonight there's going to be a very interesting... Bob Green is going to join us from Fraser Foods. There was an interesting exchange on television today. This whole terrible, 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 tragic series of tornadoes, storms, and so forth there in Oklahoma has the world's as well as the nation's news media descending upon various parts of Oklahoma City, and CNN was no different. Wolf Blitzer had a conversation today on camera with a woman, and Wolf said to her, you know, you've got to thank God that you're safe. Don't you thank God that you're safe? And the woman said, well, I'm an atheist. And I don't know whether he really, if he knew that up front or if he was stunned to hear her say that, but thus followed when she said she was an atheist, a rather, so a little bit flummoxed Wolf Blitzer. He said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. She says, but she followed it up. She said, I'm an atheist, but I don't criticize anyone who wants to thank the Lord. And it kind of ended cool. Actually, what he was doing...
Well, there was that kid. She was holding that baby.
Yes, and wasn't he trying to...
Well, the baby kept grabbing his microphone, and at one point, I didn't understand it. I don't know why they didn't have a production assistant there that would just walk over, take the microphone from the kid, and give it to Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, well, they should have had a guy do it, only the baby would probably cry.
What if the baby cries?
What if the baby does what?
What if the baby cries? You take the microphone.
Well, that's too bad if the baby cries. You've got a very well-paid anchor. He's trying to get the news report. There's a child that's waving the microphone around, looking at it, licking it. And I did see that. I can't even begin to imagine what kind of vermin, what kind of infectious disease is coating that microphone. Now, that's Wolf Blitzer. I know nothing of the man. He wears a beard.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You don't know what that means.
I know he wears a beard, so?
He wears a beard so it collects every kind of infectious filth.
All right, so you're worried about the baby.
No, I'm worried about Blitz. Yes, I'm worried about the baby, but there's more infectious disease going from baby to man than there is man to baby. You know that from having been married and being sick the first year.
Well, Margaret, I'm having a hard time, though, figuring out what it is that you are... What, bud?
You must have some kind of loogie or something in your throat because it went all like that.
Yeah, I heard that.
I didn't hear it. Did you hear something?
No, I did not. Would the two of you be quiet for a moment, please?
All right. But Mr. Henry's got a loogie in there.
Well then, Bud, you be on loogie.
Bud, just never mind.
So what I'm saying is the baby was waving the microphone around, sniffing it, sticking it in his mouth. Whatever Blitzer's got, by tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., that child will be feverish.
You know, Margaret, you're getting a little melodramatic here on me. A little melodramatic.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, you know, whatever Blitzer's got. I mean, did he look sick to you?
It doesn't make any... Blitzer has long ago developed immunity to the diseases that inhabit his body because he's an international reporter. So Blitzer long ago developed immunity. I'll give an example. Drop Wolf Blitzer down into the middle of an Aleut village in Alaska. And Phil, God help me for saying this. You drop Wolf Blitzer into the middle of an Aleutian Indian village. And by spring, when the spring thaw occurs and they're finally able to get researchers in there, there won't be a Christian soul or an animist soul. There won't be one swinging blank alive.
Is that right? Wolf Blitzer is a one-man...
Yeah, Wolf Blitzer, one-man biological.
So you're not taking it serious. So you want to sit there. I'm not going to get up and go to the bathroom, but you're not taking it serious.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not taking it serious. No, I'm not.
Why not?
Wolf Blitzer gets dropped into an Aleut village. What is that?
It's an Indian tribe. Oh, God.
All right, so it's the Alaskan native people.
Yes.
And Wolf Blitzer gets dropped into one of their villages, and by the spring thaw, when they can get researchers in there, there isn't one swing and you know what left.
And why are you... You're a witness. You're laughing at a frozen dead infant.
Very good. I didn't laugh at that at all.
I do have to do the bathroom. Very good, Phil.
Yeah, it's kind of bad, Mr. Henry.
I didn't laugh at a frozen dead infant. What kind of a horror story do you think I'm laughing at here, man? She's bringing that stuff up.
Yeah, but you did say you laughed at a frozen puppy.
Now, wait just a minute.
No, you did.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back, okay?
You got to tell a story on a puppy got froze up.
Wait us. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Call David. I don't give a crap. Call him up. We're going to be behind. We got Bob Green coming up. He's going to be talking about the atheist lady. But you want to call David, you go ahead.
I got to call David on account of he said to call up every time.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What? I said, what a kiss ass.
Shut up.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is hanging on the line. I know that we got to talk to David because you started all of this, you know.
I didn't start anything.
Phil, let me jump in. I'm sorry. Bud didn't start anything. I wanted to get to the bottom of when you said something about frozen bodies.
I never said anything about frozen bodies. It was Margaret.
I'm in the bathroom right now, David.
The what?
I'm in the ladies' room right now, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, so she said what?
She said that if Wolf Blitzer was allowed into an Aleutian Indian village, come the spring thaw, there'd be frozen dead bodies everywhere because he carries all kinds of disease.
Wolf Blitzer, all right. Now, I don't know, you were talking about this immunization...
What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm on my way to dinner with Daphne. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Are you listening to the show?
I was listening a little bit, but I'm teaching her how to drive. And the way I'm teaching her how to, I'm sorry, Phil, I am driving, but I'm letting her lean over and use the wheel, and she's, all right, put your foot there. And she's, you know.
No, I don't know. And you know what, man? If you don't mind, I'll just let you go, and you can continue to teach her to drive, because if you haven't been listening.
Whoa there, Caballero. Hold on. All I want to know is, did you have a frozen puppy?
Who told you about the frozen puppy?
I did. I am not afraid to say it.
Bud said something about how you were laughing it up with a frozen puppy.
I didn't laugh up anything with a frozen puppy. I told these guys a story about way, way, way back when I was like a kid. I was an 18-year-old kid just out of high school, and I got a job at a veterinarian's.
I know, but you're talking about frozen Indians and stuff.
I didn't say that. Margaret did.
David, hi. I'm back. David, what I'm saying is if you let Wolf Blitzer within, I don't know, 200 yards of any Native American village anywhere in America, and you're going to have a pestilence of running sores.
Well, I mean, if that's true. Well,
Margaret is not a doctor. She's not a scientist. That's her opinion, because Wolf Blitzer has a beard and has lived around the country. I mean, around the world.
All right. What do you mean, Margaret?
What do I mean? I shouldn't even have to explain that. The beard collects all of the disease, and Blitzer, I mean, I don't know what he had for lunch, how often he bathes, I don't know.
Well, all right, it's a consideration, Phil, is all I'm saying.
Is that right? Well, I don't think so.
Well, you're not a scientist.
No, but I'm the host of the show.
So what about this puppy? I want to hear her. What's going on? Hold on, baby. Hold on. Daphne's trying to drive the car.
You teach her how to drive, man.
Hold on, Mr. You want me to call him back?
No, don't call him back. You guys have got far too much. There's too much deference being offered this guy. He's a suit. That's all he is. As you know on the Phil Henry Show, suits are lower than whale. What, bud?
Crap.
There you go. Now.
Well, that's going to get you...
Fired? You don't get... Who's going to fire me? Maybe they don't want to sign me to a contract.
Well, it'll get you not signed to a contract.
Great.
So what about this puppy?
Since you guys opened your big fat mouths, when I worked at an animal hospital, way back in the early 70s with another friend of mine who I still know, and he's a guy in Florida. He's a father, and he's one of the very unfortunate jobs we had, but nonetheless, it was a job we had to do, was we had to, any animal that died on at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, you had a freezer and everything.
Just shut up. Any animal that died at the hospital, and they often came in hurt from automobile accidents. They often were very, very elderly and sick. Some of these animals, I would see them come in, they'd been abused. Not so much abused in a violent and malicious way, but just neglect. We took a dog away from a woman who brought the animal in for treatment. We just, Dr. Clutter, I remember his name was Ron Clutter, this guy, once we treated this animal and got this dog feeling better, got him cleaned up, got medicine into him and got him better, we didn't give the dog back to this woman. It was as simple as that. But some animals did not make it, and so they had to go into a large freezer where the animal's carcass, the dead animal, was frozen. And then once a month or every 2 months, we had to haul this over to the Humane Society the L.A. County Pound, where they incinerated the animals. And one of them was, I'm sorry to say, a frozen puppy. It was the puppy had died, I believe, as it was being born. The mother dog suffered some sort of a trauma or otherwise was having a very distressing series of births, and this one puppy did unfortunately die. So there's this frozen puppy, and
And you guys thought you'd have some laughs.
No, I did not have any laughs. What happened was my friend...
Oh, yeah, your friend, man. You said your friend.
Hold on. The puppy was frozen. He took the puppy. It was dead. It was already dead. It was not... And he had the puppy. He hid the puppy like in his jacket and then would peek its head out and go, hey, do you want a puppy? He was playing around with it like that.
Yeah, and what's the end of the story?
You came up to some kids.
I didn't do it. He did it. And he said, hey, kid, you want a puppy? And then, you know.
Man, that's bad, Mr. Henry. That's real bad.
It was bad. I can tell you this. The kids didn't even know what he was doing. And just, we took off. And Bud, you know, I'm surprised at you.
Well, that's the kind of thing that a news media is going to want to know about.
Oh, my ass. I was going to care. In my defense, you know, I was young. The animal, like I said, was dead. It was frozen. And there's my friend who is a wonderful guy, and neither one of us would ever in our wildest dreams consider abusing a living animal. Never. This is what happened. Now I know. Now I know that douchebag on Facebook. This is what happened.
What?
I talked to some ass over on Facebook one time. I know this guy's name. And this dumbass says to me, did you torture a dog once? What are you talking about, man? He says, you were tortured an animal. What? I didn't know what the hell this guy was talking about. I said, no, I did not. Whoever told you that is a liar, and I don't know what you're talking about. Now I know. They took this frozen puppy story, and they turned it into animal torture.
Well, it's very difficult. You know, I'm having... It gives me the creeps.
Oh, I know, because you want to hear the worst.
No, Phil, I do not.
No, no, you want to hear the worst. You want to hear the worst. And you too, Bud.
I just, it's the truth and the we're transparent information here.
Oh, shut up. Transparent. So even after we did that, I mean, we both felt, yeah, that's kind of bad taste and let's not do that anymore. And I'll never live that one down. I mean, the fact is I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's about the third time you've said that, Phil.
Oh, really? So you think I'm lying, do you?
Well, Mr. Hunt, it's easy to talk about a guy that isn't even here.
All right, well, let's say I did do it, which I wouldn't, but let's say I did. I didn't hurt anything. The kids didn't see anything, and we took off, and we were laughing, and we were just, you know, and that's the end of that.
Did you do it again?
No. No, I didn't do it. I didn't even like it, to be honest with you. The next times we did that, I was with the Dr. Job, was the guy that owned the animal hospital. I was with his son, and, well, who's got time for that? Oh, let's look for a puppy. It's actually a messed up job, man. It's a suck job. Because you're looking at all these poor dogs and like, man, these guys didn't make it, you know. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks, bud.
Well, it was frozen.
Is that right? Don't I know it?
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
If you're watching Phil TV in HD, behind me on the Phil TV green screen, you're looking at the early stages of as that tornado approached Oklahoma City. It is huge. It must have put the fear of God into everybody that saw it. It's unbelievable. I'm looking at it here, and it's just on television, and I cannot believe the size of this thing. Unbelievable. So we're, you know, we're not going to do a lot of reporting on the tornado, but it's just, it's monstrous. So we hung up on on David Hall as we talk here about this. You know, you're asking me about the animal hospital, and I worked at this animal hospital obviously because we loved the animals, and it was a guy, it was a buddy of ours whose dad owned it. His father was a veterinarian.
So you worked and you took care of the animals, but then when you had a frozen puppy, you went all stupid.
Yeah, you're all having a frozen puppy.
Why don't you shut up, bud? Because every time I, you know, every time you think you can wedge, you know, a position here, you always stick up for whoever's winning the argument.
Wedge?
Yeah, man, you're trying to get a wedge.
I ain't got a wedge.
I'm not talking about your underwear. No, I'm telling you right now, it was a juvenile stupid thing, and it's the way kids think. I mean, it was frozen, you know.
So you got frozen dogs, and you're out there jumping around and showing them off?
No, not showing them off. In any event, I'll tell you one thing. It was a damn good thing nobody called up and said, hey, Dr. Job, you know, your guys are out here in their truck taking the frozen dogs over to the Humane Society to get incinerated, and one of them has got a frozen puppy in his smock, and there would have been a few guys fired. Well, there would have been two, me and my friend. But yeah, I mean, we did all the jobs. This was right out of high school. This was my job. I was working as a kennel boy. Then I was a veterinarian's assistant. And you had about three or four guys my age working there. You had two doctors there. We had a receptionist. And then we had a nurse. So, or a doctor's, you know, the heavy hitter doctor's assistant. She was like a lady that had been with Dr. Job for a long time. And then occasionally we would assist. So... Look what you just did, Robert.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You hit my microphone. What?
Did you have assist?
Did you assist in a surgery and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you did?
Yeah. We did spays and spaying the dogs, you know, and I assisted Dr. Clutter and everybody did, because these were, even back then, you were spaying and neutering cats, and you were spaying the dogs, neutering the cats. They didn't, at this hospital, they didn't believe in neutering dogs, which is to, you know, take their testicles, because it was the doctor's opinion then. I don't know if it's true or not, that dogs that are neutered become very slow and lazy, and it's not good for them. So
dogs that have the...
Yeah, that's when they take their... Well, I better not say.
Yeah, better not say. Yeah, dogs would get a little slow. So anyway, yeah, we did all kinds of stuff. And that was life then. I can't. And then we had poker games. I mean, if one guy was working the overnight emergency shift, like it would be my friend Paul or me or whoever, well, then you'd say, well, you'd bring over about, you know, six or seven guys, and you had a poker game in the examination room.
You talk about having a poker game on top of the table?
Oh, Phil, you didn't. You were having... You're playing poker on a table where later on that morning, a dog is having its anus looked at.
Why are you whispering?
Because I think it's a little sacrilegious.
You guys have been trying to make me look like a jackass since we brought this topic up.
You're playing poker on a table where a dog is going to have the anal looked at.
What's bad about that?
Don't you think it's disrespectful to that animal and the animal's family? You know, what I'm trying to...
What are you trying to say? I'm playing a game of poker, and it's disrespectful to the dog who's going to have his anal glands looked at the next morning.
Never mind.
Well, come on.
No, I know what they're saying, Mr. Henry. I mean, you're playing poker the next morning, the dog's going to have a finger. Well,
yeah, the dog will have a finger in its butt. Well, yeah.
Yeah, everybody is just kind of bailing out now, man. All you guys, you thought you had a really good point. Well... All right, let's move on, shall we, and let the chips fall where they may on this falderall. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We do want to bring on now Robert Greene of Fraser Foods. Robert Greene, who is the CEO of Fraser Foods and is a frequent visitor of ours on the radio show. We generally are talking with Bob about things having to do with business and having to do with the economy and so forth. Bob is over at Fraser Foods in Buena Park. Bob, how are you tonight?
Well, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on the program.
You wanted to talk a little bit, though, tonight about this exchange between Wolf Blitzer and the lady in Oklahoma, right?
I did want to, and I think it's time, high time that it is talked about. I would like to say, Phil, first of all, that I am not an atheist. I believe in God. I know that sounds a little funny to say. I don't fall into these ideas very readily, generally because I'm a very pragmatic man, and I have been most of my life. When it comes to things and when it comes to my life, Bob Greene, I think, has been viewed, and I think that this is a good thing. Bob Greene has been viewed as a guy that you're not selling me a bill of goods. I got to see it, I got to believe it, and then maybe. But when it comes to God, I realize things are a little bit different.
Absolutely. There's just absolutely no proof, is there?
There's really no proof. What I saw today on CNN was Wolf Blitzer interviewing a lady that was a survivor of the tornado. And she was there with a little tiny baby, and Wolf Blitzer was interviewing them. And do you have that?
Well, I've been looking for it here, and we'll have to pull it up when we get to another break, but it was, I did see it.
All right, so you saw the clip?
I did see it, yeah.
All right. In the clip, Mr. Blitzer says to this woman, "You really got to thank God, don't you? Don't you?" And he sort of presses the point, and she finally looks up from the child, because apparently what the lady did was she evacuated her home just ahead of the tornado. A lot of people stayed behind. She made the decision to get out, and get out she did, and save the life of herself and her baby. The lady then comes back, and Blitzer is interviewing her. He says, "You really got to thank God." And at that point, she says, "I'm an atheist."
That's indeed what happened, folks.
And Blitzer is stunned. He almost takes a step backward as if he's losing his balance. That's what I saw. It could have been different, but I think that's really what the essence of it is.
Well, I didn't see that.
Well, what do you think he was doing?
He did step back. He laughed. That nervous, embarrassed laugh that one can imagine. You know what? Are we getting audio over top of what we're doing here? Just turn that off if you don't mind, bud. Get rid of that, will you please? The video. Get rid of it, please. You know, close out the tabs if you have to, bud, but get it out of my life, please. All right, thank you very much.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
I'm talking about that video because I think we had some bleed. I saw him take a step back. I saw him laugh nervously, but I don't think I saw a man that almost lost his balance.
Well, if you look at it again, you'll see Blitzer is shocked that she would say, "I'm an atheist." And he does take a little bit of a step back. He's laughing, but the eyes, you can see his eyes go wide. And what I think was going on there, it was very obvious. He's trying to think of how to get out of it because he's just been embarrassed, and there is no getting out of it. So he had to deal with this woman. And the reason why I'm on your program and saying what I'm saying, Phil, is I never thought I would say this, but I got to hand it to this lady. I think it took guts, and I'm just going to call it what it is. I think it took guts. It took determination. It took the kind of courage that we rarely see in public life these days for a woman to stand there in front of a guy who is an internationally recognized journalist like Wolf Blitzer, a man who has, he's got the power to, if he wanted to just cut her off and kick her off the air and really make her look bad, but he didn't do it because I think he was in awe of her.
And we're talking again about Wolf Blitzer and the lady that he interviewed today on TV when he said, don't you thank God for getting out alive? She said, actually, I'm an atheist.
Right. And basically what she was saying to Blitzer was, do I thank God? I thank me because I, last time I checked, I was the only one here with my baby. I got to tell you something. It went a long way toward making me, I think, rethink some things. And I'm not saying I don't believe in God. But you do sometimes get knocked off your center a little bit.
Well, what we're talking to Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. What, when you say that you got knocked off your center, are you saying that this lady saying she was an atheist made you think more about being an atheist?
Well, I mean, look at what you got. You got a woman that, I don't want to put it in, I don't want to be extreme, but really what she did on television, I don't think you can put it any other way. She spit right in the face of God.
Well, I would not go that extreme.
I think I would, because listen to what she did. She said she just made it alive out of this tornado. Her child is there. Her home is wrecked, but her child and her are fine. She looks at Blitzer and almost laughingly says to him, you know what, I'm an atheist. There, suck on that. And
well, she didn't know. She did not say suck on that.
Well, essentially what she's saying is, thank you, but I'm an atheist. She said, I'm an atheist right after a tornado blew her home to bits. And she's standing there just barely hanging on to her own life. An infant that could have been picked up by that tornado. And God forbid you even want to imagine what happens to a little tiny child in winds like that. And after all of that, that woman looks at Wolf Blitzer on television and says, I got a big news flash for you there. I'm an atheist. And
I thought she didn't say it that way.
Well, but that's the intention. I mean, what do you think she's saying? She's an atheist. So that's why I say spit in the face of God.
Well, she's telling the truth.
She's telling the truth. And what's the truth? Hey, I just made it out alive. It was a tornado. My child is safe. I'm safe. And I still don't believe in you, God. How's that make you feel? That's, in a lot of ways, what she was doing. So that's why I say, when I consider this, it makes me almost want to go back and restudy many of the different pamphlets and things I saw on the Internet that talks about, you know, being an atheist and everything.
Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. We're going to take a break here, Bob. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Green is saying, essentially, the woman interviewed by Wolf Blitzer today, after she survived the tornado and her little tiny child, when Blitzer said, do you thank God? She said, actually, I'm an atheist. Bob Green says that is a pretty gutsy thing to do right after you almost got killed in a tornado. He said it's like spitting in the eye of God. I don't agree. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green is with us from Fraser Foods. I hope you don't mind. We're going to get Pastor William Rennick. I know you know the pastor.
Yes, I do. I know Pastor Rennick very well, Phil.
And Bob is at Fraser Foods. I would play the clip on the air for you, ladies and gentlemen, and I will, but I was hoping to do it while we were rolling the video feed for our viewers of Phil TV. Can't quite do that because of a couple of little technical glitches. But let me play for you Wolf Blitzer, and we'll just put Bob offline here for just a moment, as he talks to this lady, and I hope we have the right clip, if I'm not mistaken. Here it is. As he talks to this lady, the survivor of this terrible, terrible tornado in Oklahoma City.
Well, we're happy you're here. You guys did a great job.
Yeah.
And I guess you got to thank the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Do you thank the Lord? for that split-second decision?
I'm actually an atheist.
So you are. All right, don't talk to her. But you made the right call.
Yeah, yep. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Of course not. So. Hey, all right, Anders, want to try one more time? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good for you.
So there he is, and Robert Greene again with us. Bob, you heard that?
I did, Phil, and I think you hear the lady. If you could play it one more time, I'd like to do a real-time commentary. Is that all right? Because...
All right.
Well, you got to hear it alone. All right, so go ahead and roll it.
Well, we're happy you're here.
Yeah.
You guys did a great
job.
Now,
the kid won't give the microphone back.
I guess... You
and the reason why the kid won't give the microphone back is because he doesn't like...
Hold on, Bob.
I'm actually an atheist.
So you are. All right, don't talk.
I didn't hear her.
She says I'm actually an atheist.
The right call.
Yeah, yep. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Of course not.
So that was a significant thing. She says, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. She's saying you can have your beliefs, you can do whatever you want, if you want to believe in God, and... I well imagine that what atheists do is sit back at night and chuckle to themselves over the habits, I guess, of some of the believers. But that lady, she couldn't hold her laughter back. She just went ahead and laughed right in God's face.
And you admire that?
No, hold on.
Yeah, you did. You said it took guts.
I admire it from the standpoint of, don't you think it takes a pair? Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, for saying that. Don't you think it takes a pair to be in a house 1 minute, you see a tornado bearing down on your home, the likes of which it's the devil himself. You're looking at a tornado that is the Antichrist incarnate. Everything that God is not in that thing that's coming toward you and your kid. And you make the decision, a lot of people are staying because they think, hey, guess what? The tornado's going to miss me. Well, that's the last thought they have because they are the equivalent of a love bug on a Florida windshield when that thing comes through. And
all right, Bob, let's have a little sensitivity to the people that died.
I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to illustrate the difficulty of that situation. So now the lady gets out. The tornado goes by. She is safe. Her child is safe. And she says to Wolf Blitzer, who is trying to steer the conversation, you could tell he was trying to steer it out. Don't you believe in God? Don't you believe in God? I was very resentful of that. He was trying to push this thing down the God route. And she finally said, you know what, Wolf? Back it off. Back it way off because you're really pissing me off.
I didn't hear her doing any of that attitude.
Oh, hold on for a minute. What do you mean?
I didn't hear her going, hey, hold on, Wolf. You're pissing me off.
Well, I mean, she's being polite, but you know that she's thinking... Look, Blitzer, if you and I want to remain on a friendly basis here, you better just back off of me, especially with that breath. And I don't know if she thought that, but he looks like the kind of guy that smokes a cigar. Don't you think so?
Wolf Blitzer?
No, not Wolf Blitzer, the baby. Yes, Wolf Blitzer.
Bob, I don't know what you're talking about. We're talking about three different things here.
I'm asking you, is Wolf Blitzer the kind of guy who looks like he smokes a cigar?
Yeah, okay.
Then he must have breath on him that's horrible. That's all I'm saying.
And the point is what?
Well, while you're breathing that funky breath on... first of all, she's got to deal with his belief in God, and on top of that, his breath is lousy.
All right. I think we've lost our focus here.
Well, I mean, I'm trying...
No, we've lost our focus. But the point is that this lady... All right, so now she says, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist.
Exactly.
And the point you made about the baby...
Well, the baby... Blitzer keeps trying to get the microphone from the baby, and the baby is making the statement, and I'm surprised that a man of Blitzer's education and his background didn't get it. The baby is saying, get away from me. The baby has the microphone. Now, when an infant, you're on TV, Mr. Blitzer, if you're listening, and you keep trying to get the mic, the baby is slapping you away. I think the baby had guts. I think the mother had guts.
The baby is not going to make any decision.
Well, that's what you say.
The baby's not making a decision to keep Wolf Blitzer away from the microphone.
That's what you say.
So the baby had guts.
I'm saying that what I got in total from that picture was a very gutsy family willing to say to Wolf Blitzer, no, we don't believe in God. How's that feel? And we just survived a tornado that could have turned my child here, my infant child, it could have turned this kid into 16 pounds of, fertilizer.
I'm sorry?
I don't know if you want me to say it.
Dead fertilizer.
Oh, God.
Well, what do you expect me to say?
Come on, man. Mr. Green, I think you came on my program tonight with the intention of being as offensive as possible with some of your opinions.
I'm not the guy with a frozen dog, sir. Oh, I'm not the guy.
Thank you very much.
Well, isn't that it? You're censoring what he's saying.
No, I'm not censoring. I already heard his point of view about 15 times. He thinks the lady has guts. She doesn't believe in God. She said so on TV right after her home got wiped out by the tornado. It must take guts. It's like spitting in God's eye. I heard it 500 times. Okay? When he brought up the frozen puppy, that was dirty pool.
Well, yeah, he probably had that in reserve.
Yeah, I got your reserve swinging.
How dare you?
Well, that's how I feel right now. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show with hour two of our marvelous, marvelous program. ESPN is laying people off. Why does that make me feel good? That's a bad thing for a guy to feel who's in the broadcast, but it does. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're from there hoping they're gonna fire that one guy, right?
Yeah, that Bob Patrick.
Who's Bob Patrick?
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I know that we did not have, is he there?
Yeah, Darren.
Let me get Pastor William Rennick, ladies and gentlemen. I'm awfully sorry, but the pastor, we're going to get offline here. We've got a couple of things we want to talk about. Pastor William Rennick joining us from Joyful Union Congregation this evening. And Pastor Rennick, I did not have plans originally to have you talking to Bob Green. We wanted to get to you. I hope you understand that, but we just didn't have time.
Look, Phil, I understand the fact that Bob Green not there, but I did not come on the program continue to have any debate with Mr. Green. I came on the program, simply I asked Mr. Dingman, I want to come on and I want to defend God. You see, I don't hear a very effective defense of God going on, that's all I'm saying.
All right, well, I mean, I didn't think that we'd be getting into that kind of thing.
No, but this man, Bob Green, you got on, is a grocery clerk. See?
Well,
hold on. Now you understand, to my job, every day, every night, twice on Sunday, like I say, my job is to bring to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. My job is to bring to people the belief in God. Now I hear a man come on your program, and he is given full reign, talk about it, no God, this little baby is smacking Anderson Cooper across the face.
I didn't hear, he didn't say that. He said the baby had the microphone.
Well, there's a little tiny baby by this godless woman. And a little tiny baby is grabbing a microphone out of a man's hand. She's trying to teach this baby to confuse and basically make Anderson Cooper look like, excuse me for saying this, like the gay that he is. And I say that, I'm not saying that to criticize.
Well, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm not saying to criticize, Phil. I'm saying try to make that man look weak. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, when I say the gay he is, I'm saying the stereotypical view of a gay man being a weakling. That baby that woman had trying to make him look bad, taking a microphone, slapping him, pushing him around. You got a little tiny baby.
Baby was not pushing him around. The baby simply would not give the microphone back.
Look, I don't want to argue with you. What I'm trying to say is I wanted to come on your program and at least be one voice in this night that I've been listening to so far, at least one voice in defense of God Almighty.
I'm happy that you're here to do that, Pastor Rennick. I just don't want you to characterize what has happened here over the last hour as anything less than what it was. We were listening to one man's opinion about this. He had admiration for this woman.
Well, I will admit you one thing. If you want to tell me it takes guts to stand on national television and say, I don't believe in God just after your home got turned into garbage, I guess you can make a case to take guts. To me, my way of thinking,
I think you're about the most ungrateful, stupid woman I've ever seen in my life. If my home turned into a pile of garbage, I don't care. I live in garbage because I got God.
That little tiny bit. I'm going to see.
Here's Claire.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, Ms. Bingham, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Now, William, you said that little baby was slapping a man on the face.
I saw him take Cooper Anderson, slap him across the face.
His name is Anderson Cooper.
Not that baby. Look, man, I'm going to kick him in the ball.
You know some.
Give me the microphone. I'm going to talk on a radio show.
I want to tell you, that baby never hurt no one, and you're making up things, and I want you to stop right now.
All right, I'll stop. The whole point I'm trying to, all right. Fine, but I'm going to tell you right now, that Anderson Cooper come out there, he's trying to help those people, that baby is, you know, all that baby talk, like, goo, 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 take a microphone. Kid, if that baby tried to take a microphone from me, that's the last thing he's going to take from anybody.
And what you going to do to that child?
What's that?
What do you think you're going to do to that child?
I'm not going to do nothing, Clara. I'm not going to hurt the child. I'm just going to tell you. If I'm on television on the Cooper Anderson show.
His name is Anderson Cooper. Got him.
Don't ask me if I care. You know?
Yeah, but people call you.
Come on. If that baby, Phil, you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right. If that baby, and I'm trying to talk to Anderson Cooper on the TV, and I say, Anderson Cooper, you know, a tornado came in like a freight train, man. And I'm laying on the couch, you know, I'm reading a sports page when I got the TV, all of a sudden I look out the window and I'm going, what in the name of everything holy? And it's a tornado. And now I'm saved. I'm going to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I ain't going to come on TV and say, I'm an atheist. Man, that takes a pair.
Oh, baby.
Woo! I got admiration for that woman for doing that.
But she was telling the truth.
What's that?
She was telling the truth.
All right, she's telling the truth. Now, I'm trying to get it said, because I'm going to get it said. I'm going to tell him, God Almighty saved me. Now you got some baby, and I'm trying to get my thing said, and I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to testify and witness to God Almighty. And what do I got to deal with? I got some kid. And they're doing the goo-goo guy. You know, remember the nephew?
I understand. William,
we got that little nephew. We just got a brand new nephew. My younger brother, his wife just had a baby. And it's all goo-goo, did that, bad, you know, all that stuff. And I got a baby. I'm trying to say, God Almighty, save my life. He got a boo-boo, bad, da, da, da. Man, I'll tell you, oh, God.
He said he's going to drop kick it.
Give me that.
What did he say?
He said he dropped it.
Give me that. I'm going to talk on the radio. I did not. I said I'd drop kick. How many times have you seen a dropkick?
In the recent years, we've seen a few. You mean in the NFL?
No, in Jacks. Yes, in the NFL.
In recent years, we've seen a few.
All right, I didn't think anybody knew it. And let me tell you something. If I'm trying to testify to God Almighty and the existence of God Almighty, I don't care if I got a dropkick. Let me tell you what. I'll set fire at home. I'll burn it to the ground. I'll go out and run over. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about God. If I got a dropkick a baby, and I would drop kick that baby. The baby's asking for it.
No baby asks for it. And for you to talk in an irresponsible way like this...
I'm not talking irresponsible. Phil, what I'm trying to say is, where is God at the moment when God ought to be put on a pedestal?
You know what, Pastor Rennick? Sometimes it's just for people to witness in their own ways. You know, God isn't always going to get the headlines. He's not always going to be, oh, God, oh, God. You know, sometimes it's just a subtle... Sometimes the world is full of non-believers, and things are happening, and things turn out good, and there's nobody there giving God credit. You're just going to have to give credit to God in your own way. He didn't get his TV time today. There was a lady there that was an atheist.
No, you got all the answers, don't you? You got all the answers. I love this man. You got all the answers, don't you? But you don't have the right answer.
Pastor.
No, you don't have the right answer. I'm going to tell you something. God... in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And they were out on a... I'm going to tell you something now, Phil. Don't you interrupt me.
Go ahead.
And they were out on the Sea of Galilee. God had the 12 apostles out there. And they got a storm going, and they got a wind blowing. And all kinds of hell is breaking loose out there in the water. And the apostles are frightened to death. And the apostles are saying, you better make something happen, man. Because I didn't leave my hometown. I didn't leave my job as a tax collector. I didn't leave my job as a fisherman. I didn't leave my job. All these heavy-hitter jobs these guys had, the 12 apostles, and they followed this man, Jesus Christ. He didn't have a pot to throw it out of. And all these men are following this man, Jesus. Now they're out on a boat. What are they doing out on a boat in that storm? Anybody know? They're out sailing. They went out. They want to do, were they sightseeing? I forget.
They were fishing.
No, they weren't fishing. What kind of fish are you going to catch? They were out there on a boat. Out there on a boat. Now, God is standing, and here's this storm. The 12 apostles look at Jesus, and they say, I want to tell you something right now, man. I came out here on a full faith of you as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God Almighty, okay? I came out here to be with you. Now, you better think of something fast. I ain't kidding you, man. Have you ever seen the pictures? They're hanging on his robe. I'm surprised Jesus had anything left on the way they're all hanging on him. They would have ripped that robe right off of him, and he would have been taking a walk out on a lake out there, that Sea of Galilee, in the nude. And what kind of a painting would that make?
And okay, stop with the jokes, huh?
I'm not making a joke. They were hanging on him, Phil. They were hanging on Jesus. They're saying, you got to think of something, man. I come out here to go on a nice pleasure cruise with him, and we're going to die out here. And what'd Jesus do? Jesus said, let me tell you something. You cats got nothing to worry about. I'm going to show you something. Look at this. And he goes out, he walks down there. All I know, he was nude. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. But he took a stroll out on that water. He's walking on the water.
That's what I'm saying.
What? You didn't say nothing like that.
I think Phil did. He said you just have to witness your own thing.
What are you talking about, Phil?
That's what I'm saying. You just have to wait, and you just got to chill, and you got to let it happen. In that instance, he walks on the water. Who knows what other things could have happened? And for you to get upset, if you're alive and everybody else is alive, and a lot of people died in those tornadoes, then that's the way it is. And you can testify and give God credit in your own way.
Yeah, wait, what about that baby trying to take a microphone and stick it? I tell you, if that had been Jesus Christ, that baby took the microphone away from Jesus. And Jesus, like, you know, I've been a good, you know, I don't know who this kid thinks he is.
So Jesus would have hurt the baby?
No, I didn't say that, but it's just, I don't know. Get off the phone, will you? Tell me to get off the phone.
All right, Pastor Rennick, I got to take a break. I appreciate it. Pastor William Rennick, I don't know what the hell he just said. I think he agreed with me. And what if Jesus walked on the water nude? We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, we're talking
the Phil Hendry Show.
Not talking to you, talking to me. Me. That's what you're talking.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What I was trying to do is getting over to our Facebook account, Phil Hendry Fans, because there was a fascinating story that occurred today that we were following, and we got it up on our Facebook page. And this is an interesting thing. What happened here, man? What happened here, bud?
I don't know.
Well, I can't see anything there, son. In any event... What do we have, a camera out or something? A very, very interesting story about Zach Galifianakis, who is one of the stars of the Hangover franchise, as they call them. And I thought it was and everybody loved it. It was the most heartwarming thing that you could possibly imagine. And what it was essentially this. Due to the success of of his career in these Hangover films... He's got a little bit of money, he's got a little bit of pull. Now, when he was a young, struggling actor, back in the 90s, he would visit a laundromat, and he would get his clothes done in this laundromat. And there was a lady that worked in the laundromat, and if you're watching Phil TV in HD, there is the lady standing there right now, this elderly woman. She stands there at all of these dryers, and her name is Mimi Haste. She's 87 years of age. She used to volunteer in this Los Angeles laundromat, as she is seen in this picture. She got by on tips left for her by the patrons of the laundromat. Here is Zach Galifianakis, a young actor at the time, struggling, using the laundromat, giving her tips. Well, when he found success finally through the, in part through the Hangover series, he'd been a patron at this laundromat. He had met and befriended her in 1994, in fact, when he was still a struggling comic. With the success of the film, Zach's life changed drastically, and he had lost touch with Mimi. That is until 2 years ago when he learned that she had become homeless. And he went and he found her, and here she is in this picture. She's getting makeup. This could almost make you cry, man. And she's getting makeup put on, and he, after learning of her misfortune, he found her a one-bedroom apartment. Now listen to this, folks. Found her a one-bedroom apartment, which he pays the rent for. He also introduced her to Renee Zellweger, who furnished her apartment and buys her groceries. And she's getting ready for a big night out here in these photographs. She went with him to the premiere. She's gone to the last two premieres of the Hangover movies. And this is a picture here of her as she goes to the premiere. That is a that's just a hell of a deal right there. Got her an apartment.
Well, I think it's great, Phil. I really do. It gets dulled a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You know what I mean, Bud? It got dulled.
In what way?
Well, Bud, you want to say it or I'll say it?
You go ahead.
Well,
all right, I'll do it.
Well, you said I was going to do it. Who's doing it?
You do it, Margaret.
I said I was going to do it.
She's going to do it. God, you guys.
Well, it got dulled a little bit, is what I mean.
Why did it get dulled?
Excuse me, who's buying the groceries? Renee Zellweger. So, in other words, he cheaped out at the last minute.
Yeah, so he browned out.
He browned out. Very good point. He browned out at the last minute.
Yeah, brown out. It's a full brown out.
What does brown out mean? You mean like the lights?
Yes, the lights dimmed. It wasn't a blackout. So there is still some integrity there. But the integrity has been dimmed to a brownout.
Yeah, it's like you might as well not even read.
Wait a minute. I don't see it that way at all.
Well, who's buying the Oh, yeah, and by the way, Renee, would you buy the groceries because I'm too much of a cheap creep? What is that about?
I'm not going to have this man called a cheap creep. He's renting her apartment for her. He's paying her rent, you know. You know what I'm saying? Why are the three of you?
Yeah, then why ain't he better get on a grocery instead of the lady?
Bud, what language was that you just spoke?
Yeah, you sound like a jackass, man.
I mean, why's the lady got to buy it?
Because maybe she wants to. Maybe Renee Zellweger said, yeah, okay, I'll kick in. That sounds like a really cool thing you're doing. Let me help you out, you know? And he's like, well, no, you don't know what happened.
Well, I noticed her name got in the article. Do you suppose a publicist jammed it in there?
No, I don't. I'm not willing to think the worst of people like you, Margaret, okay?
How dare you? I have an interview scheduled with Ms. Zellweger.
And I hope that she doesn't... Oh.
What?
What?
So no wonder you're calling Mr. Zalif...
Oh, you can't even pronounce...
Alakazam.
Not Alec. Where do you get Alakazam?
Oh, I thought that was...
That's not his name. It's not Zach Alakazam. It's Zach Galifianakis, okay?
Yeah, well, now that you look.
Of course I look. Somebody's got to.
Well, so you're saying, oh, I see. You think that I'm being nice to her because that's why I'm ripping him.
That's exactly what I think. You're ripping him, and you're saying, oh, wow, why isn't he picking up the cost of the groceries so that when you interview her, you can bring that up and say, look what I did. I backed you up.
That is, I feel like slapping your face for that.
Go ahead.
Ow, God. Yeah, you really did.
That's right. Where's the toilet paper, please? I've got to use the can because I got to pinch one off.
Fine. Hey, Margaret's got to pinch one off.
I don't feel guilty for slapping you, Phil. Well?
What do you need?
I said I need toilet paper.
Bet you're going to pinch one off.
Don't you say it. I'll say it.
You know, what is a healthy number of bowel movements per day?
What do you mean?
Because Margaret is like, she's, well.
Were you going to say I saved mine up? Maybe I do.
Would you just close the door, please? So anyway, I think that's a fantastic story. There it is. You can read about it wherever fine cosmetics are sold. No, you can read about it just about anywhere. as he takes this gal to the premiere. That's fantastic. She was homeless, 87 years old. Boy, you don't want that to happen. How the hell does that happen in life? How do people lose connection to the things they know? And when you're 87 and you're living on tips and you're almost homeless, what happens, you know, to a person's life?
Well, you're looking all nervous and stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm 60 now, you know.
Yeah, but that's going to happen to you, Mr. Henry. You got a successful career and everything like that.
Yeah, but you never know what happens. You know, I think what happens is some people get sick. You know, you break a leg or maybe something worse, and you're bedridden, and you lose your job or something, and you use up all of your insurance. Next thing you know, you got no support, no nothing. You think that's what happens?
What are y'all worried about it for? It's not going to happen to you.
You never know. You never know. Someday, Robert and Bud, I want you to promise me something, okay? Someday, if you're walking down the street and you see a poor old creep, and it's me, and I got a tin cup, take me out to the ocean, drop me off the edge of the pier, and let me drown.
No way, man. I'm going to go inside for a murder rap.
That's murder. Cold-blooded murder.
I don't give a damn. I'm asking you to swear a blood oath that you drop me off the end of a pier.
But what happened? We're going to get arrested.
I'll write something. Dear sir, to whom it may concern, okay?
But...
Hold on. To whom it may concern...
Excuse me, I'm going to flush. I want in on this.
To whom it may concern, I give permission to Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard that if I'm an old man, infirmed and living on the streets, and they find me as such, they're allowed to drop me off the edge of a pier and watch me drown, okay? Now that's...
Hold on. Woo! Now, what is this?
We got to take a break. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on Phil TV and HD. Right now, we're looking at the 1968 Doors concert from the Hollywood Bowl. And I should have brought this up yesterday, and I didn't. I brought it up during our pre-show. I talked to our BSPs. I went to that show. I was 15 years old when I attended that concert. And as I remember, it was we went with a couple of girls. One of them was the sister of a buddy of mine. There was a lot of us there. I mean, probably about 8 or 9, maybe 10 people there. And went to this concert at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles because we were high school students. And at the time, the Doors were one of the biggest bands in the world. And they had just come out with Strange Days, which was their second album. They had not yet come out with their third. So they were still kind of, they were in a period of they were in their real... ascent. And Dan just told me, he says, did you ever tell the story? I told it on the air. I told it on the pre-show. I never told the audience out there.
Well, what part of the story is the most exciting for you of the door of the door?
Yeah.
Not the door, the Doors.
Well, okay.
It's the Doors. We don't have to argue about that, do we?
No, not necessarily, but...
I think the thing that struck me the most was, first of all, I said that, and I think people should know this, the concert was, there were three bands that night. Steppenwolf opened, Chambers Brothers played second, and the Doors were the headlining band. And they had on stage these Marshall amps stacked that apparently they had set some kind of a record for the most amps on stage that night. The Rolling Stones, I think, had the previous record, and the Doors beat it. But before the Doors came out, came Steppenwolf. The PA that Steppenwolf was working with that night just started cutting out. It's the same PA everybody was working with, I guess. But it was, I don't know, did they have a PA? Somehow the audio was cutting in and out. The Chambers Brothers came on second, and as I've said many, 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 many times, and I'll continue to say, the Chambers Brothers almost stole a show. That's how good they were. And then came the Doors, and the Doors almost knew that they had to get the audience back because the crowd was just absolutely on its feet for the Chambers Brothers. If you don't know the Chambers Brothers, they're pretty much forgotten today, which is kind of an interesting thing. At the time, they had one of the biggest hits on the radio, and that was a song called Time Has Come Today. So this 11-minute song that got hacked down to about, 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes. And then came the Doors, and the Doors knew they had to get the crowd back. And the first song they did, I can tell you right now, is a song called 20th Century Fox. Morrison came leaping out onto the stage, and the show was on. And as a band, in those days, there wasn't a better American band in terms of musicianship than the Doors. There were blues bands like, for instance, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. There were groups, but in rock and roll, this group probably was the best American band because the British had come over a few years before and were blowing everybody's socks off. They're just one band after the next, and everybody in these groups could play and play really well. And America had what? We had the Beach Boys. That was about it. So along come the Doors, and there were other bands before that, the San Francisco bands, but the Doors, I think, came along and showed what really good musicianship was. And as I said, Morrison said later in a few interviews, he said, we have the best band in America. This is our band. He says, I'm proud of our band because we play better than anybody. So that night we were at the Hollywood Bowl. We watched Steppenwolf with their PA, and I loved Steppenwolf, still do, but it was not a good night for them. But then came the Chambers Brothers that were so good that the Doors had to really fight to get the crowd back, and they did. And then came this amazing Doors set. And one of the things that happened that night, if you know the Hollywood Bowl, you know that it's a steep incline of seats from the stage. In front of the stage is a pond or some kind of feature, water feature. I don't even know. I've never sat that close, but I think it's a pond. And then comes the stage, and then comes that acoustic shell, if you will, behind the stage. There's a wall that runs along from the audience's point of view, along the right side of that that large shell, that ambient background. And a guy hopped over that wall. He crawled over that wall stark naked and walked out onto the stage. And I can't remember whether he sat down or just stood there. I think he stood there with his arms behind his back. And was nude, you know, and I remember Morrison walking over and shaking the guy's hand, like, it's very nice to meet you, good of you to show up for the show. And that was that, as they continued the act, and eventually came, you know, security to get him off. The other thing that happened that night that I remember from Morrison's, you know, from him on stage, and you're always, he's an interesting and very compelling guy, and Jim Morrison's done some crazy stuff on stage, there's no question. He didn't do much of anything too nuts that night, but I remember the lights came up at one point during the show, and nobody knew why, but the lights were up, and they had finished one song, and Morrison went to the microphone, and he says, hey, man, you gonna turn down the lights?
Is that how he talked?
Yeah, Jim Morrison was like, you know, he had a great voice, and he had that very low, hey, do you want to turn the lights off, man? Hey, man. And the lights stayed on. And it was only later that I began to think about it because I never really heard. They were obviously arresting somebody or they were getting somebody out of the crowd.
Why do you think they're arresting?
Because you're going to turn the lights on in a concert that better be for a damn good reason. It had to be because there was somebody being arrested or rousted.
What is he? He looks like he's taking a bowel movement there.
No, Margaret.
Well, I know he's not.
Morrison, in this film clip that we're watching from the Hollywood Bowl, was squatting on the stage. Bowel movement.
That's what it looked like.
In any event, he says, hey, man, you want to turn the lights off? Hey, man, you want to turn off the GD light? So he did that real screaming Morrison thing, turn off the GD lights. And
did they?
No. They did eventually. But he was, I think, speaking on behalf of the crowd that night. So It was a hell of a night. It was a lot of fun. It was musically, it was a tremendous night, and the band was on. One of the things that I also mentioned last night was Ray Manzarek passing on. You think about the keyboards, and he played something that was called a Continental Vox, I believe that's the name of it, Vox Continental organ. On record, it sounds fantastic. In the recording studio, they made it sound great. Live, I never liked it. And that night that we were watching the band there at the Hollywood Bowl, it sounds like a little toy organ. It doesn't sound good. It's just this, you know. It just
what does it sound like?
It's like.
Well, that doesn't even sound like a keyboard.
It sounds like a man doing a keyboard. Is that what you're saying? It sounded like.
No, I'm not saying it sounds like a man. I'm saying it sounds like a keyboard.
Well, that's what you just did.
Did I really? Maybe I was doing it to illustrate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Phil.
That's right. They had a keyboard that sounded like a guy going dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
That would be kind of cool, though.
In any event, it sounded like a little toy organ. I never thought it sounded good live. And but nonetheless, it was one hell of a show. And I recall getting out of there, you know, it was a massive, massive exodus of people. And the Hollywood Bowl has stacked in parking, meaning, you know, that people can park behind you. And you literally have to wait for people to see the guy right there in the clip. That was me.
No, it wasn't.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you one other thing about that show that night. I had brought a camera with me. I had brought a little Brownie 8 film camera.
Your kid, where's the footage?
Lost.
What? You gotta be out of your mind to lose that.
I did. It's lost. It's gone. I don't know where it is. I looked for it for years, man. I will say this. I didn't know anything about using a film camera back then. It was a film camera. It was 8mm, Brownie 8mm film. Very small. It was the common film stuff that was used by the home-use camera people in those days. I had this little camera that was given to me by my father for, I think, Christmas or my birthday, and I brought it with me, and I filmed as much of this concert as I could. But I will tell you this. I didn't know a damn thing about filming anything, and it's very likely that it was just too dark.
Did you have any kind of zoom lens? Did you have a magnifying lens? Was there at any point that you think you got Morrison? Did you get him? I'll ask you this. Do you remember the squat?
The what?
The squat. Did you get that?
Margaret, if he squatted on stage, I don't know whether I got it or not.
Yeah, but do you remember it?
No, I don't remember it.
But the chances are I didn't get it.
You didn't even get that.
That's right, Margaret. I didn't get the high point of the night for you, a guy squatting.
How dare you? I simply wanted to know if you got one of the more unusual. Never mind.
Yeah, just let me handle it. No, I didn't get any of it. And I can tell you that it was most likely that I didn't really film it properly because it was a dark, you know, it's outdoors, it's dark. The only thing that you can see is the stage. But the answer to the question is no. I couldn't find it. I don't know what the hell happened to it. I was 15 years old. So what do you think is going on with a 15-year-old guy who's going, who's the kid? I had my head up my ass half the time there anyway, you know.
Who did you go to? Did you go with this, the young lady that you dated in those days, who was the niece of the famous film star?
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Well, what's your problem, Phil?
Yeah, anybody want to know about it?
Wait a second. I don't want people thinking I'm going out with the niece of a film star. I went out with a girl whose uncle was Lon Chaney Jr., okay?
Oh, man, that must have been bad.
Why do you say that?
Lon Chaney, the guy was a wolf, played on a wolf man.
Well, what, do you think she looked like the Wolfman? That's makeup, you jackass.
Yeah, but still.
No, she was a cute girl. She was a little blonde chick, lived in Arcadia, went to high school with her, and her uncle was Lon Chaney Jr. Okay?
I'll bet you took no end of grief. If somebody said to me, if I was a boy, which I'm not, thank God, and I said, oh, I'm going out with Lon Chaney Jr.'s niece, I'll bet you they said, oh, God, Lord. How do you do that, Robert?
Lord, Lord.
Yeah, thank you for your John Huston impression. No, she's a nice girl. We had a lot of fun, and I was there with my buddy Don, and who I am the godfather of his son now. In fact, Joe, I saw you posted on Facebook yesterday when the news about Ray Manzarek hit, and I saw Joe, because Joe is a recording engineer, Don's son, and I'm sure your dad has told you about the concert. All right, we do have to take a break.
Well, what about Lon Chaney?
What about him?
You went to the show with Lon Chaney. No.
Go to the show with Lon Chaney. I went with his niece. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is
yeah,
our
but Lon
bitch.
Chaney with Lon.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What are you talking about, man?
Nothing. Never mind.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know why I'm going to be sadistic here, but as long as we're playing things from video, it was a story that I wanted to get to last night. I'm sure by now you've heard there was a national anthem sung in the NHL.
Here's the play of the day.
No time. Let's see. Get right to it. Now, we have seen some anthems gone
all right. So this is the Good Morning America crew, and they're going to talk about this poor lady. I say poor lady because you know she didn't go out there to sing it bad.
Well, you don't know that.
Yes, I do know that. I feel very confident in saying that. She forgot the words. Anybody remember Robert Goulet when he did the national anthem for the Muhammad Margaret?
Well, I know Frank remembers that.
And I seem to recall, I was in high school, Robert Goulet was a singer, a big singer and a popular singer at the time. And he sang the national anthem. Here, let's just listen.
Anthem's gone wrong over the years. Alexis Norman in Canada can be forgiven, and this ends well, I promise.
I lied what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's first gleaming. Whatsoever we strayed.
Oh, she doesn't know the words.
Come on now. Help her out, folks.
Gave proof through the night. The man was still there.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner
yet wave? They came to her aid.
That's hard. You know, kudos to her, though.
And it's not for her anthem in her defense.
Mr. News Announcer. Bullcrap. If you're going to go out and don't you think you learn the song first, not her anthem in her defense?
Well, he was making the point, Phil.
Wait. If you do a public performance of something, don't you rehearse it?
I would rehearse depending on... It was the national anthem. Big deal.
Oh, what do you mean, big deal? That's the anthem of America.
This jingoism...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. What if it was the... Can you sing... I can sing O Canada...
So? I don't give a damn if you can sing O Canada. Can you sing the national anthem of America?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early do-do-do-do-do? Yes, I know it fine.
Oh, okay, do-do-do-do.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land, do-do-do, I know it.
Yeah. Don't give me this bull crap. Good Morning America. You guys ought to have your license revoked for being Good Morning anything, okay? There ain't nothing good about you. You ought to have the hair on your chest revoked for your manhood. Are you kidding me? Oh, well, in her defense... Yeah, that... You should have... I'm telling you, that was a very uncourageous stance to take as journalists.
Yeah, but man, it'd make them look bad if they start ripping on people.
Yeah, you pile them on.
Wait. Why? Why would that make them look bad? Why would the audience is sitting there in the morning watching TV, okay? I don't give a damn if the crowd is behind her, isn't behind her. She's singing the national anthem. Don't you think that she would learn the song before she got her fat ass out there to sing it?
Fat ass. Look at you. Now you turn it into a sexist assault on a very pretty girl.
That's fine. Don't you think she'd rehearse?
Phil.
Wouldn't she rehearse?
If you're doing the national anthem, no, because you're assuming... Okay.
Well,
hold on, I'm not done yet. You're assuming, all right?
Yes.
That...
He always does this.
Would you shut him up? Shut it up.
Bud.
Now I have to start all over again.
Yeah, you're just buying time.
Please.
Bud.
You're assuming that the woman goes out and sings the national anthem. Okay. Does she know the words? No, she doesn't. Should she have rehearsed? You're kidding, right?
No. Why am I kidding?
Where's she going to rehearse?
How about in her house? How about if she just reads the lyrics a few times to get them down? How about that? How about if she listens to a record of it? You got to be kidding me. And these guys are sitting there giving her a pass? I'm not. I don't give a damn if it makes me sound like a Jack Paul. Do you remember the time the Marines came out with the Canadian flag upside down? You don't remember that, do you? The Marines, the color guard, the honor guard of the United States Marine Corps came out, I think it was opening day, one of the baseball seasons, Toronto Blue Jays, and they came out and the flag was upside down. They were mortified. They were at, and they asked, the Marine Corps asked the Canadian, I think they asked the team, they said, would you give us the honor? This is how they put it. We're very sorry. We're just absolutely, we're so, so sorry. Would you please allow us the honor of carrying the flag out again in tomorrow's game? And they did. And the Marines got it right, obviously, because it's the... And it came off very, very well. And it, the Marines came off looking good. The Canadians were angry. I don't blame them, you know?
Well, the Marine Corps, Phil, should get it right.
Anybody that is going to do an anthem or carry a flag, everybody should get it right. Yeah, the Marine Corps especially. But they messed up for however, whoever. Maybe it was the guy was nervous. Who the hell knows? But they said, please allow us. We're very sorry. They apologized. And they said, we'd like the honor of carrying your flag. If you'll give us that chance, we'd like to do it again tomorrow night. And they said, yes, of course. And they came out and they did it. And it was a wonderful gesture by the Marines saying, essentially, we really did you wrong and we want to do this the right way. So I think this lady that sang the song, I don't think you give her a pass if she'd like to try it again. She can't memorize the words to a song, the national anthem of her country? Come on.
That's not her country, though.
Yes, you're missing it. It's not her country. Go ahead, Phil. Sing the anthem to... I don't know. Give a country. Sing the anthem to the to Buddha.
What?
Is there a country called Buddha?
I don't think so.
No, there isn't a country called Buddha.
See, you don't know it though, and that's my point.
Don't be stupid.
Don't call me stupid, Phil. Don't ever do that. Don't get between a dog and its meat, Phil. Do you know the lyrics to the Chinese? I do. Chong Chao Ching Chao. If I did that, people would say, isn't Margaret amazing? She knows the lyrics to the Chinese national anthem. Well, of course I don't. I'm going ching, chow, ching, chung, chung, ching. And people will go, oh, God.
What about the Chinese? Will they think it's fantastic?
They're not going to be there. Well, they would be there.
If you're playing the Chinese national anthem, there's a good chance there's some Chinese around.
Oh, is that right? You know everything, don't you?
No, I just know about national anthems. And we'll be right back, folks. Phil Hendry Show. Chung Chao Ching.
Chung Chao and Ching. Ching Chao, Chung Ching Chao. That's the Chinese Canadian national anthem. Chong Dong.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry.
I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. All I'm saying is that at some point, I think it would be fantastic for us to get a printer and to set the printer's settings right, so that when we do print something off, I'm not printing pop-ups right smack dab in the middle of the copy. You understand?
Yeah, we can't do it.
Well, I don't care. Anyway, welcome back, folks, to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're very happy to be with you here in our final hour. And we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. And we're over there every day, just talking to folks. We print, putting on our Facebook version of an act. We have a trivia question we do. We've got Flash. What is it called?
Well, there's Flashback Friday.
Yeah, Flashback Friday, Throwback Thursday, Throw Up something else, Your Mama Wednesday. Also, Tuesday is, what was today?
Today, Trivia Tuesday.
Trivia Tuesday.
But it's a trivia question, yes.
We asked a trivia question today. We asked, Steve Bozell's daughter goes to a school in Corona, California that is a liberal, it's a progressive, you know, high-end school. And the headmistress there is Erica Dorton. She calls the Bozell home at night. What does she do?
She calls the Bozell home at night.
Yes. What does she do when she calls?
She talks.
Gotcha.
No. As a matter of fact, no, she doesn't.
She doesn't. She calls up and she doesn't talk.
No.
But she do.
That's what I'm asking you. It's the trivia question. All right, tell you what, we'll lay it out there.
Oh, we got a call right now, in fact. Hello? Oh, yeah, hi. Yeah, hey, what's up? Yeah. Yeah, I know. We're on a radio, Ms. Dooley. You want to go on a radio?
Is that Bobby Dooley?
Yeah, hold on.
Will you give me that phone? You're driving me nuts with that laugh, okay?
Ms. Dooley.
Really? Hi, Bobby.
Oh, hi, Phil. I had an answer for your trivia question. Does she call up? It's Erica Dorton, right?
Yes, Erica Dorton, the headmistress.
She calls the Dooley home. Not the Dooley home. She calls the who?
The Bozell home.
The Bozell home, Steve.
Oh, that's in Bozell.
Yeah, because I have a Steve. Well, I think the answer to that is she calls and she says, hi.
No, you're wrong.
I don't think I was asking you. I was asking the host.
Yeah, well, you're still wrong.
You're wrong.
What did you say, Phil?
You're wrong.
Okay, Phil, thank you very much for telling me that, Phil.
I told you you were wrong already.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. So what's the answer, Phil?
The answer is that you're wrong.
Thank you, Phil, very much.
Boy, the two of you guys started off doing really well.
Well, she's getting the attitude now because she has the podcast, which, by the way, is this week is Jimmy Pardo. He's wonderful.
Well, Rick Overton is coming up this week. Isn't it Rick Overton this week?
I think it's part two of Jimmy Pardo.
Part two of Jimmy Pardo? Okay. And then Rick Overton. And they're reaching out for some other guests, some real heavy hitter guests there. So what's the thing?
She's getting an attitude, Phil.
All right, she's getting it. I don't really care, and I don't care to talk about it. All I want to know is what's the answer to the question. I'm going to give the answer.
Wait, let me go get some more of this.
I'm going to give the answer. I don't care. The answer is she breathes into the phone heavily.
Oh, that freak. Oh, yeah.
Right. And so we had a winner, Chris Sykes. And so, and that's our Facebook page. So go on over there to Facebook and check us out. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And when you're over there, you can tweet at us, follow us, fondle us, whatever they do at Twitter. You can join us over there. We're all over social media, baby. We cover the waterfront. We got like 6 or 7 Twitter accounts. We've got, the Facebook accounts.
What about LinkedIn?
No, we're not on LinkedIn.
Well, isn't that a social?
No, LinkedIn isn't social. LinkedIn is some professionals. I'm not sure. LinkedIn is weird, you know.
Now, a lot of people go on there, man, like looking for a job and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think it's supposedly professional networking. I'm sure that there are people that are very happy with LinkedIn. It doesn't look like anything to me. I'm not interested in it. And that's fine. You know, it takes a more than one person to make a horse race. So,
well, what does that mean?
In other words, it takes more than everybody's got an opinion.
What about like put me.
What's put me?
You made it up, man.
Give me a real one, will you, bud?
I'm sorry. What about Swigit? Or not Swigit. How about Google? How about Google Plus One? Or whatever it's called. Google it?
What is that new Google one? It's called... I don't use that either. It sucks. All of them suck.
What about Reddit?
Yes, I'm hearing a lot about Reddit.
I go over to Reddit, and I got an account on Reddit. In fact, we've done a couple of interviews on Reddit, or what they call... Ask Me Anythings, and we've had fun doing those. Those have been a hoot and a half to do, and I think we should do another one. We're going to do another Reddit probably when we launch our show again sometime this summer. We definitely will do another Reddit. We definitely will do another Reddit when we do the one-man show. We definitely will do another Reddit when, you know, stuff like that.
Will you do another Reddit if you win, like, an Academy Award?
Yes, we'll do a Reddit right before we get an Academy Award. All right, ESPN layoffs, trying to manage costs. That's what they're doing over at ESPN. And how do you manage costs? You fire people. ESPN is cutting its workforce, the latest Disney division to reduce staff. Changes across the board, they've continued. And they claim, by the way, that they have good growth while smartly managing costs. The sports media giant said in a statement Tuesday, while difficult, we are confident that it will make us more competitive, innovative, and productive. Now, the guy that wrote that line, are you getting fired too, sir? I'm just wondering, that's all. Would you have said that? Were you, what if you were the guy, what if you were also getting fired and you also had to write the press release?
As the last thing you did before you went out the door?
Yeah, the last thing. So it'd be what?
I would say, I think that is asking an awful lot. I would say, we are confident, even without my services, because I will be going too. My name is Joe Blow or whatever.
Joe Blow? Your name's Margaret Cray.
Is that right, bud? Thank you. I didn't know my... I'm giving an example. Oh, baby.
Bud, butt out, will you?
I would say, yes, we're confident that ESPN will continue to do well, even though I won't be with the company anymore.
Well, how do you spell that?
Well, I'm just emphasizing. Because I am also a part of the layoffs. Excuse me, Phil.
Everybody's bumping the mic tonight.
I'm sorry, it got in my way. I'm a part of the layoffs, and so I will be gone. I will be gone and on the street lifting the lids of garbage cans and sleeping in open doorways. But guess what? ESPN will be doing just wonderfully. Thank you very much. Go straight to the...
Well, Margaret, you haven't been fired.
No, but I'm putting myself in the...
Yeah, that would be a hard one.
I mean, you think about that. You're writing a press release while I'm lifting the lids off of garbage cans and as sleeping in open doorways. I'm sure ESPN will do well.
Yes, that's how I'd write it. But you don't see anybody there at ESPN writing it that way because the people that do their press relations haven't got a pair.
I'm sorry?
They don't have the you-know-whats.
Balls.
God.
Watch it, will you, bud? Look, at man, I'm tired of you guys jumping in and using words that I wouldn't ordinarily use myself. You get clearance from me before you say a word like that.
What?
Well, I mean, never mind. The company would not say how many jobs are being eliminated, but they included unfilled positions. ESPN has about 7,000 employees worldwide, with about 4,000 at its headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut, the vast majority working behind the scenes. In April, Disney laid off about 150 people at LucasArts, the video game making division of Lucasfilm, 4 months after acquiring the company. Every time you buy a company, every time a company is bought, the first thing the new company does is start to lay off people because they want that bottom line to look good. They don't want to have a whole lot of expense there. They want to see some profit, and the easiest way to show profit is to start firing people, getting rid of salaries. In April, Disney laid off 150 people at LucasArts, the video game making division of Lucasfilm, 4 months after acquiring the company behind Star Wars for $4.6 billion. Wow. Disney also laid off about the same number of at the movie studio in April to cope with the decline in DVD sales as consumer habits shift to digital forms of home entertainment. See?
Oh, so people are doing what then? Are they robbing?
No, they're not robbing. They're getting Netflix. They're getting Netflix. They are having these things digitally delivered, purchasing things digitally. For instance, our website, all of our best ofs, you can purchase the digital versions of them. And we do a pretty good bit. I'd say half and half, if not even more now, people digitally downloading stuff. It's easy. You're not having to wait around for it to be delivered. You know?
Yes, but they don't get the cover art and the CD.
That's for collectors. My feeling is that people, and I'll tell you the guy that does a really good business in the hard copy of digital. When I was talking to Bubba the Love Sponge, he does cool CD cassettes, good CD packaging. It looks awesome, and I think people buy it because you autograph it, stuff like that. But overall. The digital download's a lot easier. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show right after this here break. What else we got going on, man? Bin Laden photos, guess what? We ain't going to be seeing them. The court said you can't see them, so you can just kiss that goodbye. A gospel singer is suing McDonald's after swallowing a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich. Nice going, baby. And Darius Rucker got a Darius Rucker. You remember the guy from?
Yeah, Hootie and a Blowfish.
Right. He had a somebody tweeted at him a racist tweet, so he fired back on the guy, and we'll find out what transpired. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Man, you know?
Well, I don't think it goes over well with the audience.
Oh, well, I'm sorry if it doesn't go over well with the audience. You know, I happen to be a fan of police departments.
But that place you used to go drinking at.
Yeah, we used to go to a bar in Arcadia, California called The Station. And we used to shoot pool there, and we would drink there, and we'd watch games. It was a cop hangout. I didn't know it right away, but... And it's in my little hometown of Arcadia. It's on Baldwin Avenue, called The Station or The Station House. I can't remember the name. But it is a cop bar. And when you go in, you see all of the patches on the wall of all these police departments. And there's three pool tables and a bar. And we used to go there, watch the games. We used to go there, shoot pool. I tell you right now, I've never, you know... left the station house drunk and got into a car and driven it. But I have left the station drunk and got on a bike.
And what was that like?
That was like that was worse than driving a car. I'm on a bike drunk. Have you ever tried to ride a bike drunk? You can't do it. I couldn't. And I was riding my bike all the way back up to a town called Sierra Madre, which is at least 5-6 miles straight up Santa Anita and then left. And,
How did cops let you go out of there drunk?
Yeah.
They're off duty. I don't know. They didn't see me doing anything any more dangerous than getting on a bike. I guess they didn't give a damn, you know, or they didn't notice. But I got on my bike and off I went. But what I'm trying to say to you, bud, is that, I got no problem. I am a fan of cops, and I know some people don't like them, and people that don't like cops generally run afoul of cops, or they're in a situation where they're encountering cops. And I'm trying to think of a time where I would really need to do something that would put me in direct line of a cop. What is that I've got to do, you know?
Well, people like to be free, Phil. They want to have, they want their freedom.
What freedom are you talking about? What freedom?
Don't get upset because you don't understand the kind of freedom that I'm talking about. The freedom to be who you...
Be all you can be.
To be all, well, not all you can be.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Armed Forces.
No, don't be free, man.
You want to be free to do what? What freedom do you need that is going to have a cop go, uh-oh, better call that guy?
Well, how do you know that the cop isn't a bad cop?
Yeah, well, everybody that I talk to that has problems with cops say the same thing. Yeah, they're bad cops. They're crooked cops. They got to be bad.
Well, how do you know they're not telling the truth?
Because they're all scumbags. That's why. Everybody that's got a problem with a cop, I guarantee you, look deep enough, and the guy's got a record. He's got a one scumbag offense after the next. He's always running afoul of cops, doesn't like cops. Guy's got arrest after arrest after arrest after arrest. You know, all I know is it's against the damn law, for instance, to deal drugs. Now, if you still want to deal drugs, if you still want to deal coke, if you still want to deal weed, if you still want to deal whatever... then I would suggest you do it in a manner whereby you are not going to have cops coming around. I mean, what do you want to get arrested? You know, I'm looking at these guys, and one of the reasons why they closed down a lot of these dispensaries in L.A. County is these people that ran them were about as stupid as the day is long. I don't know what you're expecting to happen. And, of course, the dispensary gets closed down because the cops came in and closed it, and they got a problem with the cops. Well, if you got people walking out of there with joints hanging out of their mouths, and that is... totally against your license, or you can smell weed people are blasting up in the parking lot, yeah, you're going to get closed down. See, that's, to me, that's dumb, and you can't blame that on anybody other than yourself. Now, if you're going to deal illegally, let's say, well, then don't get caught.
Well, Phil, it's, oh, yeah, right, that's easier said than done.
Wait a minute, let me just tell you something. Because we used to do, remember we did the Dr. Green Thumb report?
Yeah,
we
got to do it again.
I don't want to do the Dr. Green Thumb report. It was like having to hunt up marijuana stories. Because it was the same story all the time. Guy says, oh, man, cops, I got busted. Yeah, because you had a burned out taillight. Yeah, because you had a burned out headlight. Yeah, because the registration was wrong. I mean, you send a guy out in a truck. He's going cross country with a bunch of weed that he's going to deliver to Florida, Pennsylvania, wherever. And make sure you send him in a truck that you haven't checked over mechanically, that's registration is expired, that the lights are burned out. Yeah, and then when the guy gets pulled over, you can blame the driver. You can blame the cops for being a bunch, you know, man, those cops, they really patrol that area there, man. They never give you a break. Or you can take a look in the mirror and go, who's the dumbass that set this up? These guys are getting busted because they're making stupid mistakes. I'm not going to blame the cops for that at all. How do you blame a cop for doing his job, you know?
Well, what about the fact they get them out of, and they take them into the police station, and they do the interrogation? What about that?
What about it?
They'll go, I have to do that.
Oh, right. So you're saying, what are you saying?
I'm saying the guy's doing his job as a cop, okay? Quit, Margaret. You're not going to convince me. Guy gets busted dealing. What, and what happened? Well, let's see. He got all this weed delivered to him, and they have drug-sniffing dogs that go to the post office and sniff this stuff. You're busted. And your friend's an idiot.
Well, how would you mail it?
Okay, this is great. So now you've got me advising people on how to break the law.
Well, you're talking about they can sniff it.
Well, I know what some people have done. And you're not, first of all, you're not mailing a large amount of weed. If you're mailing somebody, I don't know, you know, a quarter ounce or something like that, you stick it in a cold cream jar. I've seen people, or I've heard of people, they take it and they put it...
Well, which is it? Have you seen it or you heard?
Never mind. They put it in a plastic bag and they put it right in the middle of a bottle of lotion, hand lotion, something, right in the middle. So if you got a drug sniffing dog, he's not going to smell it. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to give people advice on how to... But see, what I'm trying to illustrate here is that most people that get busted are idiots. They're idiots. They shouldn't be dealing in the first place. I don't give a damn how easy you think the money is. You shouldn't be doing it. You're a moron. And not only are you getting yourself busted, you get other people busted. What the hell? Or maybe you like being arrested. Maybe you think it's fun. I don't know. Or maybe if you're going to do that, you insist on doing it, that's fine, then be smarter about it. But the one thing I'm not blaming are cops. Cops do their job.
Yeah, no, no, no.
You're always running into cops, huh?
Yeah, all the time, man. Cops, they never let off. They're always there.
One of the reasons why they're always there is because they can spot a moron a mile away. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's easy for you to screw you, man.
You're an idiot. Just face the facts. You're an idiot.
How do you know so much about this?
Because we had the Dr. Green Thumb report. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff in there. More of the dumbass getting a ban. You wouldn't believe it. All the dumbass gets arrested.
There were dumbasses in that Dr. Green Thumb report that would have put you, man, you wouldn't be able to. I mean, kids are bringing weed to school. You know, all this, the kid, because their dad and their mom have got it laying around in the house. The kid takes it to school for show and tell. Okay, what's that about? You know, how did your kid get their hands on the weed? Okay, that's number one. Then all the burned out taillight stories, all the burned out headlight stories. Smelling weed. You got so much dope in the back of this truck that if you get pulled over, cops going to smell it. You don't have to be smoking it. They can smell the stuff, you know? Let's see. What else? Here's a break. So I can think of more when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Look at this. Toby Keith. He was in Moore, Oklahoma, helping out. Gospel singer sues McDonald's after swallowing a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich. She wanted nothing but glass, and they gave her chicken to go along with it. What's that about? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Just talking about people being arrested by the police.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I still maintain. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show this Tuesday night. Good to have you with us till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I'll get into just a couple of more weed pointers. But first, our website, philhendryshow.com. I want to tell you all about it. All you have to do to get a backstage pass is head over to our website and subscribe. You'll see on our homepage a tab that will say backstage. Actually, if you go anywhere that is subscriber only, you will encounter a splash page that tells you all about our website, all the things that we have on it, and all the things that you can avail yourself of, and it will direct you to the sign-up. So no matter where you go, if it is subscriber-only content, you'll encounter that splash page. And I'll tell you, for $9.99 a month, you're going to have more audio than you will ever, ever in your life be able to listen to. I'm serious. Close to 5,000 hours, I think, is pretty intense, man. So head on over, and with it, of course, you have the video cast. We have our video cast archive. We have podcasts that are delivered to your device every day. It could be the Daily Show podcast as well as our classic podcast from our archives every day at philhenryshow.com. So join us, won't you? And we also have webisodes, animated webisodes. We're going to have some more animation that we're going to be putting on the website as well. We have the Milwaukee Lions, which is a fictitious football team invention, done with the play-by-play from Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. It's weird, and it's there as well. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, gospel singer sues McDonald's after swallowing a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich.
I don't know how it is, McDonald's, and some of these fast food places get this stuff in.
Yeah, one time they had a rat at a KFC. What?
That's true, Robert.
You kidding me? Yeah, they had a rat.
They had a rat. They found a rat in a box of KFC, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'd eat again. Forget about fast food.
I would definitely be sickened. I'd beyond words. I don't know how KFC stayed open after that, but the stuff you can find in fast food, as the man said, you know, be careful out there, folks. A Brooklyn gospel singer is suing fast food giant McDonald's after she swallowed a piece of glass in a chicken sandwich, damaging her vocal cords. Jacqueline Simpson, age 52, claims the stray shard of glass left her with a hoarse, rattly voice and unable to sing soprano.
What's that?
That's the highest voice. That's
you can do. Give it. Show him a man's soprano, Phil.
I beg your pardon?
Show him a man's soprano. How does it sound?
No, you show him a soprano.
All right, fine. But a soprano is like this.
God! That hurt.
Oh, stop it.
That hurt.
Easy, bud.
No, it's ruined me. It's ruined me. I don't think I'm going to have children.
Yeah, man, I was pretty high.
Are you going to stop this or can I?
Hold on for a minute, Margaret. You weren't exactly the best sounding soprano there.
I beg your pardon. I was on stage with Robert, and you call him Goulet. I know him as Robert Gula. Robert Gula.
Robert Gula.
Don't you laugh, damn you.
Well, I can't help it.
Ow! Ow!
Will you knock it off?
Yeah, but that sounded bad.
I was on stage with Robert Gula when he did the very lovely, "If ever I would leave you, how could it be in spring?" Okay, enough said. All right. Now comes my solo. What else do the simple folk do? Do 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 do. See, that's soprano, bud.
No.
If he doesn't stop,
ow!
Kick your ass.
Get over there, Margaret.
Tell me to get over there.
Well, just because he doesn't like your singing, what are you going to beat the guy up for that? Sorry, you know.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Everyone loves my singing. Do you?
I love your singing, Margaret, but...
That's not true. He told me one time.
What did you tell him?
Nothing. I said I like your singing. Here's a soprano, bud.
Oh!
That's a soprano.
What?
That's the soprano voice. Oh! Up there. Now,
Well, you like doing bass.
If you do bass, then you're singing, oh, that one, way down.
That's a bass?
That's the bass voice.
We like tenor.
Tenor is in the middle. Da 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 da. That's tenor. Okay?
Well, that was the most jived up bullcrap.
That's way better than what you were doing with the what else do the simple, you know.
Well, that is cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe?
I didn't say cantaloupe, you jackball. I said camelot.
If you said it the way people actually say it, the way humans that walk on the earth Where are you going?
I won't be insulted. I'm going to the toilet. Toilet paper, please.
Is she pinching one off again?
Yes, I am.
All right. Every time I try to make a point with her, every time I try to get, you know, get, just really make a point, she gets up and goes to the toilet.
Mr. Henry, you're going to have to just face the fact, man. Ms. Graves, she's set in her ways. Always will be, always was.
Well, so a soprano is the high-pitched voice. Now, that's what this lady was singing. She is a soprano singer, and she swallowed this shard of glass, and it messed up her soprano voice. I have to make a lot of calls for work, and I have to tell people that I'm not a man, Simpson was quoted by the New York Post as saying. Before, that never happened. Oh, this sounds like horse dung. Simpson, who filed the lawsuit on Friday, says she ate the sandwich containing the rogue piece of glass at a McDonald's outlet near the World Trade Center in May 2010. The Huffington Post contacted Paul Goodman, who owns and operates a number of McDonald's restaurants in Manhattan, for a comment. Goodman said he would look into the incident. Rest assured, I take these matters very seriously. Providing safe food and beverages is a top priority at my restaurant. Upon learning about this claim, I took immediate action to gather the facts and began an investigation into the matter. And this is a pending legal matter. It would be inappropriate to comment further. But it is hardly the first time something odd has turned up in a McDonald's meal or restaurant. Remember the Georgia woman who claims she found a nose ring in her 4-year-old daughter's breakfast burrito, or the woman who said her 2-year-old son ate a used condom he found in the play area of one of its restaurants in Chicago.
Well, wait a minute, man. This kid picked up a condom?
Yeah, that sounds like the kid's at fault there. Did you see this, Margaret?
What? Kid, 4-year-old kid, they would use condom. Oh, that's horse dung. I heard that story.
Yeah, that's complete bullcrap.
Well, you have to... You know, I remember when Jason J. Delmonico was a very, very small child. My God, he ate everything. It's something... Oh, he was reaching into garbage cans. He was sticking anything he could find in his mouth. It's something that children do.
Well, I mean, come on.
What?
It's everything?
It's something children... He ate snails. He would eat spiders.
Oh, God! You serious?
Oh, quit being dramatic. He would eat everything. He would pick food off of other people's plates. He would grab strands of hair. And just... I thought there was something missing nutritionally. And then as quickly as it started, it ended. And during this period, I thought it was interesting. We took him to the doctor. During this period, his eyes, his flesh would turn green. And he only slept in the daytime. It was very interesting. Well, the doctor...
Hold on.
What?
What are you saying? He had...
Yes?
He had green flesh. He ate anything that would move. He was...
I didn't say that would move.
He only slept in the daytime.
Yeah, what was he? A zombie or something like that?
I don't know. He wasn't a zombie, although I think Frank thought so. We took him to the doctor. He had some nutritional deprivation. The point that I'm trying to make is that kids are kids, and they're always going to be kids, and they're going to eat like kids, and you better just evacuate. I mean, get out of town for a few days, because...
Well, that sounds creepy, man. I don't want to know. If my kid ate the way your kid, I would have him taken to a doctor pronto.
Guess we did. Hello?
He ate anything. Good God. Well, anyway, but a kid eating a condom, I'm not going to blame the restaurant necessarily. There might have been a used condom on the ground, and that may be as it is. I mean, that's a terrible, horrible thing. But what's the kid doing picking crap up off the guy? I don't know. It's making me sick now as I talk about it. Good luck to all of you people suing McDonald's this year. How about that? There's a good one. Meanwhile, Bin Laden, yes, is back in the news. Only this time it ain't Bin, because as you all know, he is fish food. Man, he's sleeping with those fishes.
Yeah, that's right, man. He sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah, yeah. Luca Brasi sleep on a fish.
It's not sleeps on a fish.
Sleeps with the fishes. A 3-judge panel has denied requests to release the photos and videos taken on the night Osama bin Laden was killed. The District of Columbia Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals sided with the Obama administration against a conservative watchdog group, Judicial Watch, that had been attempting to get the photos released. The administration argued and the court agreed. Boy, that's really great, Judicial Watchdog. If it was the Bush administration and there were liberal senators trying to get a hold of these films, what would you be saying? I know what you'd be saying. Nobody needs to even ask the question. You'd be opposed to it. Although, as a conservative group, the Judicial Watch... can I just say something here?
Would you finish the story, Phil?
Yes, ma'am. The administration argued, and the court agreed, that the photos and video footage from that night should remain classified in the interest of the safety of Americans abroad. The administration expressed concern that if the photos became public, it would spark riots and other anti-American violence in certain parts of the world. The ruling, which was unanimously held that the government's reasons for classifying the photos top secret and thus exempt from the Freedom of Information Act were justified. The raid that killed bin Laden, for whom U.S. authorities had been searching for over 10 years, was conducted by the United States Navy SEALs in May of 2011 in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The SEALs took several photos and video of the raid and its aftermath, including photos of bin Laden's body, partly so that the CIA could use facial recognition technology to confirm bin Laden lived.
Did you see that Zero Dark Thirty?
I did.
And what did you think?
I thought Zero Dark Thirty was excellent through the. I thought it started slow. It started almost like a movie of the week, and I'm not saying that there wasn't a lot of action. I'm saying that I thought that it rolled out pretty surprisingly slow. I mean, it didn't. Catherine Bigelow in The Hurt Locker. I mean, she just was so. That film was so great. And it might have been that there was not enough of the military stuff at the beginning and more of a bureaucratic look at things. But I thought it started slow. But it picked up. I thought it was excellent. We're told by leaked information from the actual SEALs on the raid, however. And I think it was interesting the way she shot the bin Laden raid. It was all in dark with very few moments of night vision goggles coming into view. So you're hearing, you're not seeing. And from what the SEALs are alleged to have said is that we were dead quiet. We didn't scream and yell.
Yes, I saw that.
Because in the movie Zero Dark Thirty, these SEALs are making all kinds of noise. They're yelling orders at each other. They're yelling orders over the radio. They're not emotional. I'm not saying that they're emotional, but I'm saying that they're yelling orders, and they're yelling direction, and they're yelling coordinates, and they're, you can hear this. The SEALs themselves, at least it is alleged that SEALs who saw the movie said that it was not like that at all. They were highly critical, as you're going to expect they will be. They said, we were very quiet. We didn't have to yell anything. We spoke calmly into our... and went about our business. Now, it's possible that that's what they thought they were doing.
Why? What are you talking about? Like they thought what they were doing?
It's possible these SEALs in the moment thought they were being very quiet. Maybe they were yelling. I don't know. If you're involved in something, in an adrenaline pump like that, Navy SEAL or no Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6 or not, your adrenaline's going. And it could very well be that you're not really judging how your voice sounds. By the same token, I'm in no position to doubt what these men said, so I will buy what they said. I think, personally, though, as movies go, and you know I'm a stickler on history. That's why I didn't like Argo. Argo had wholly created scenes. I don't like that. I never will, and that's just all there is to that. They concocted events. They concocted scenes. We don't know if the scenes that took place in Argo actually ever happened. And I don't personally dig that. I suppose if I stepped away from it and I thought, okay, I can see how they're trying to, give us a fanciful view, maybe. But I don't like it. So if they knew that the yelling didn't take place, but they had the SEALs yelling for effect, then it makes me feel like I've been deceived and I've been raped. But it was Catherine Bigelow, so I guess I should feel honored. All right, I'm kidding around.
Oh, my God, you want to be raped by a female.
No, I didn't say that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, he'd have to have one of those.
Never mind.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm not knocking Zero Dark Thirty. Please don't think I am. It's a great movie. It's a really great movie. Compared to Hurt, I prefer Hurt Locker, but there's no doubt in the world, in my mind, that Catherine Bigelow is the action director in terms of reality, in terms of war movies, if that's what you want to call them. Who's better? I don't know of anyone that's better. The Hurt Locker, I would compare to Lebanon, which I told you is probably the most brutal and brutally realistic war film I've ever seen It was made in Israel, and it's about the invasion of southern Lebanon by Israeli forces, and it's violent, it's jarring, it's told from the interior of a tank. The entire film is shot from the inside of a tank, an Israeli tank as it moves through southern Lebanon, and it's you know, we say there's really good horror movies if they're disturbing. To me, that makes a good horror movie. If you leave the theater or wherever you were and you're feeling disquieted, you just saw a damn good horror movie. And I think the same goes for a war film. And Lebanon is brutal. Hurt Locker. These are, I think, epic films because they disquiet us, they upset us, they make us, you know, feel a little bit of what it must feel to be in that situation. Zero Dark Thirty, I thought was terrific. From the history that it told, yeah, there was, you know, a little fudging there with the way the SEALs conducted the operation, but nonetheless, the storyline is correct. The everything that happened leading up to the discovery of Bin Laden, Bigelow renders that accurately. That devastating bombing of the CIA compound in Afghanistan. I can't remember the name of that place either.
Well, what was it?
It was like a CIA base.
What?
Bud, it's a CIA base.
What do you mean? I thought those guys are spies.
Yeah, they are spies. Doesn't mean they can't have a base.
Yeah, they had bases.
How can a spy, if you're not allowed to know where he is?
Well, it's not like that kind of a spy. Anyway, the CIA... You're not allowed to know. What, the U.S. government can't find their own spies?
That would be stupid, bud.
Well, that's a good point.
Oh, thank you. Hey, we just made a great point. Spies don't have to be so secretive that their own employers can't find them. Anyway, there was a huge base in Afghanistan that was operated by the CIA, and the station chief was a woman. What I thought was... you could not help but notice the primary movers in this film, the primary characters and players were female. And the station chief, the CIA station chief in Afghanistan, a mother, a wife, wholly dedicated to finding Bin Laden, and thinks she's turned an Al-Qaeda guy. They believe they've got a guy turned, that he's going to give them information. He's coming to the base that afternoon. As kind of a gesture, she baked him a cake. And this guy gets out of the car, and in a split second, they go from thinking this guy is an asset who's about to give us information, and in a split second, they're realizing they're dead. They're dead. They trusted the wrong guy. This dude detonates a suicide vest. It is an enormous blast, kills everybody within the radius. This was a famous event. It was documented. It made the news. It was the rock bottom for the CIA. They hit they were just rock bottom. You know, here they were on their way, they're trying to find this guy that carved up 3,000 Americans. And by the way, Mark Strong, who was in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Mark Strong plays the guy that gets shot in Hungary. Remember the tall, good-looking, dark-haired actor? He plays the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency in this film. He's outstanding, just outstanding. I mean, everybody in the movie was very, very good. So... But the CIA hit rock bottom with that, and it also, however, was a pivotal time because it also further compelled a lot of people within the intelligence community to double their efforts to not give up. Now it was like going for broke. Now nobody was going to quit. They were going to die on the job if they had to because of what had happened. So it was a long, brutal, bloody road to getting that guy Bin Laden, I'll tell you.
Well, and the explosion, because I did see it, I reviewed it. The explosion was, I forget.
What is it with you, Margaret?
I don't know. I was listening to your story, and I forgot what I was listening to.
Well.
Oh, I remember now. No, I don't.
All right, we'll see you guys. Try and think of it by tonight. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and our good friend Dan Northcraft. Don't forget to go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. With a backstage pass, Jack, you're living large. You get all of those fine things we have on our website, like the thousands of hours of audio, our video cast downloads, our video cast, as well as our webisodes, as well as our all kinds of stuff at philhenryshow.com. Be a part of it. Until tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.